James on Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com and by Orange Theory Fitness. Come see why the New York Times and Men's Health rated the best one-hour workout. Your first workout is free. Open in Burlington on Shelburne Road. The Huddle is now on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com and streaming worldwide. 101.3 ESPN app.
All right, just let this guy putt first. You use
the... good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. All of the Captain Ford. No, not quite. Brady's here. Rich is not here. Artie's here. We are live.
Tell me where we're live at, Brady.
We're at Bluff Point Golf Resort in Plattsburgh.
Love it here.
The Huddle
Love
Golf Tour second installment. You know you used that same joke the last
did
time
I do
we
that?
Did this.
Nobody remembers.
I do.
Nobody remembers
You're
that.
You're like a comedian who just has the same punchline joke all the time.
Stick with it if it's going good.
When are you going to develop new material?
What genius put us that our back is to the lake so we can't see the water?
You did. You said I want to face the clubhouse.
Yeah, now I kind of want to face the water. It is just beautiful here, is it not? This is why I need to buy a house on the water. I need this view in my life all the time now. I need this somewhere. Someone sell me their house by the water, very cheap, please. I love this place. It's awesome here.
Well, we've got the view and we've got the golf course here to prove it too. We are at Bluff Point Golf Resort, the Huddle Golf Tour. Look, we got so much going on today.
Oh man,
a foursome and a cart if you want it for $101. $101 for a foursome and a cart. I don't think you realize that's only $25 a person. You can't play a course like this for $25.
And I'll tell you what,
person.
I'm going to make a deal with you. If you come out and there's just three of you, I'll take the rest of the afternoon off and go play golf with you. And I'll put in my $25.
That's not encouraging people to come out.
You don't know that. They may all come out with three. I have no idea. I mean, come out. It's just beautiful. There's open tee times right now. I'll play with you right now.
People are already stepping up to the practice greens because we've got our Beat the Huddle challenge. We've got our Closest to the Pin challenge. If you can come out today and sink a 50-foot putt on the practice green, you're going to take home a pair of Red Sox tickets. If you can beat us Closest to the Pin, you're going to win some swag, courtesy of our friends over at Bomb Tech Golf. Remember, it's UVM-engineered clubs over at Bomb Tech Golf. They've got some clubs they're giving away. We've got all kinds of swag, station swag, people just coming up to us and mobbing our front desk. Yes, you can take it. You can have that. The interns will take care of you over there. We got intern Kevin here, intern Lewis here.
Way too many interns here today. Way too many.
It was a much more crowded car.
Yes, it was. I didn't like bringing that. If I'm going to bring the interns, I don't like to drive with them. So,
by the way, you were extremely irritating on the ferry over here.
What did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong on the ferry.
All the interns and I got out and admired this beautiful day.
Well, I was working on the show.
You were not working on the
show. Oh, that's totally what I was doing.
By the way, how funny was it? So our sister station, Star 92.9, has an event today also in Plattsburgh.
And they were on the same ferry as us.
They were on the same ferry as
us. And my wife happened to be in that car.
So we're next to them on the ferry. You're screaming at your wife.
Right, and I told the guy
car
that
to car.
They were smuggling people in the back so they could pop the trunk and take a look to make sure that they weren't actually smuggling people in the back of the car.
So we're going through the ferry, and we tell the ferry people, and look, great people at the Lake
Shore. Oh, very, of course.
We said, give the Star 92.9 van a bit of a hard time. And we single-handedly delayed the ferry a few minutes because they gave them the full runaround.
Well, I was screaming, they're smuggling! They're smuggling! They're smugglers! Go ahead and check them out! So hopefully they did find some contraband in there, but I don't think so. They just kind of just drove off the ferry before us, by the way. I'm not kidding. I want to play some golf, Brady. I really just want to drive a couple of balls. I want to go to the driving range and I swing like Charles Barkley, but I'm kind of getting the itch right now. It looks beautiful out there. It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous, and we do have a short show today for Champlain Valley Game Night, so we only go up until 6:30, so we might be able to sneak a couple holes in.
We might have to. I can't do that. I got to play 18 or none. You know what I mean? It's 18 or zero. By the way, last night at Trivia, unbelievable. Just fantastic. Great crowd. And by the way, they're going to build a deck. So next week, it won't be as crowded. We did have a lot of people there, but we'll have people outside, and we'll sit another 30 people because we were just absolutely, it was just great. And my first question irritated a lot of people to start the trivia off. My first question, it took people like sometimes 20 minutes to get it right. My first question was, if you lived to be for 1 billion seconds, how old are you in years?
Oh, my God.
Well, and there's no shortcut. You have to do the actual math.
One billion seconds.
Yes. How old are you? And people were working on that for about a half hour.
So, how many seconds are in a day?
Yeah, you got to start with 60 seconds in a minute, 60, and you had to start doing the math.
So I had to do 60 times 60.
Oh,
to get
don't
you
even
in an
start.
Hour.
There was one math teacher there who got right on it.
Did they get it right?
She got it right. It took her about 8 minutes on, and we're talking numbers like I said, no calculators. I walked around, make sure nobody used the calculator. People were working on this for like 15, 20 minutes while the rest of the team did the other one. So it was a lot of fun. By the way, the answer, 31.69. So we accepted 31 or 32. So there you go on that one. Don't try to do the math. But that was the first question. But we had a lot of fun. It was absolutely packed. But next week, we're going to have the patio, which seats another 30 or 40 people. So there should be plenty of room for everybody at a good fun at the Burger Bar.
And I'll be hosting next week,
yes,
so I can't
are.
Wait to get back out there, too. I was over at Orange Theory Fitness yesterday.
How'd that go?
Oh, it was great. I burned 894 calories.
Yes.
I generally work out in the morning, but I worked out at night yesterday, 894 calories, got 18 splat points, and I had a different teacher yesterday. One of my favorite things about Orange Theory is the quality teaching. I've had Gabby, I've had Nikki, now last night Jess and I had Heather, so we've had three different teachers, all of them great. You always go with Leah,
yeah.
And they're super helpful. You know, look, I was doing one thing wrong yesterday. They come over to me and tell me how to do it right so I get the most out of it. So I get a great calorie burn, and I'm burning calories still today because I got the afterburn effect, so I'm burning calories 24 hours later.
Yeah, I want to fit in the, you know, I heard that David Bowie's waist size was 28 when he passed away. I'm not a 28. I'm more like a 40. I want to get down the back like 36. I don't know. I can never fit into my jeans, my skinny jeans anymore, Brady. I got to fit into my skinny jeans now.
The idea of you in skinny jeans is nothing that I want to think
All right.
about.
Tell everybody what is going on today, what's going on the rest of the week. I'm going solo. That's why I was working on the ferry, starting working on Friday's show right now, because I got to go solo, because everybody that texted in on the Top Fair Tire text line, everybody that we called back that said they wanted to do the show, when we actually called them back, they said, "Oh, I didn't know you really wanted us to do the show." And then they got all afraid and nervous, and they said, "Well, I can't talk for 2 hours, and so I'm going to end up doing the show solo." So
yep, I'm going to be gone doing the best man speech thing, getting ready for the best man speech. The wedding's actually on Saturday, so yeah, you will be roughing it alone, but you'll have intern Aaron there.
Intern Aaron, we might do meet the interns. There'll be other interns there, so we might have a little fun with that. I don't know. We'll just see what happens. We've got power play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country. I've got the combination to the prize vault, so I'm sure I'm going to find the best things we have to give away. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's what I was working on the ferry on the way over.
So again, a foursome of golf today. You guys come out here, a foursome in a cart, $101, the Huddle Golf Tour, live from Bluff Point Golf Resort. If you want to get in, mistake of the day, 802-655-6672. Mistake of the day brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time. You want to come on out and try to get in for that also to win that 1-1-3 ESPN baseball cap.
By the way, did you see that stat I sent you about baseballs in play?
Yes, by Paul Hembekides of ESPN.
That was kind of interesting. I know there's not much to get into about that, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Less balls in play per game. And it just keeps going down.
Yeah.
Every 10 years.
Which I took as a pace of play to speed up. Maybe we'll talk about that later.
It's not so much pace of play. It's more strikeouts than anything.
Maybe I misunderstood that.
As for what's coming up on the show, are the Giants the dark horse in the NFL? Somebody thinks so. Are the Red Sox now in on Manny Machado? And what do the Orioles want from the Yankees for Machado? And MLB agent Josh Kuznick's going to join us at 5:35. And again, you can get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672.
And if I miss anything in the soccer game, I'll try to keep you updated. Right now, Croatia and England tied at 1. I think they're in the 104th minute. Of course, they had 90 plus the 5 minutes of injury time. Now they started the extra time. If anything happens, I'll pass it along. Because I know a lot of people are into the World Cup, Brady. And I mean, especially overseas, especially in England out there. But we'll let you know when that becomes a final. We'll go and pass that along. So.
Andrew in Williston says he'll do the show with you, Arnie. He says he missed you soliciting for offers. Too late, Andrew.
Well, that's too late, Andrew. You can call it to the show. A little too late now. We got about 20 texts. I called them all back, and everybody was like more nervous than the other. Like, I didn't think you were going to really call me back. I thought you were just kidding. So, you know, we decided, all right, the heck with it. I'll just go solo with meet the interns, and we'll have people call in and text in and all that. And, of course, we got Power Play, the new and exciting game. team sweep of the country.
Intern Aaron, Steve, the sales guy, says he'll do the show with you. Intern Aaron says he's got.
I'd rather have dead air before Steve, the sales guy. I'd rather just have dead air. You know what? You would rather air the Mets game over the show if Steve, the sales guy, is going to do that. You'd rather air the New York Knicks preseason basketball. I don't want to get carried away.
Speaking of the Knicks,
yes.
Luke in Burlington says the Knicks win the title before you fit into a size 36.
Wow. Are the Knicks going to win next year?
As for what's coming up on the show today, we just gave you that. What's coming up now? Look, so you listen to this, right? Remember last Friday when Evan Drellick, who covers the Red Sox for NBC Sports Boston, he came on with us last Friday, and he had this to say about where the Red Sox stand in Boston. Aaron, give us that cut, Evan Drellick with us last Friday.
Oh, I would say it's Pats 1, Celtics 2, Sox. I guess Sox 3. It's hard to put the Bruins out of the Sox. But, yeah, if for some reason the way the Red Sox are, even despite how well they're playing, they're not getting quite the traction and attention. I think people tuned in for the Yankees series. Or maybe that's misreading. You know, I know the Globe had a column about this the other day, and it's just my feel as well. I did some talk radio and some TV, and it's just, it doesn't seem to be the grabber, you know. It doesn't seem to be the real talker for people, the Red Sox.
So he says that the Red Sox are down.
I agreed with that at the time. I remember asking him the question, and we were both looking at each other. I'm like, that's the way I see it. Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox, and I even think maybe the Bruins close third to the Red Sox for that spot there.
So Tom Caron came on with us yesterday, and he was upset with those claims. Now, we didn't tell him that Evan Drellick was the one who said it, but he is upset with those claims. Aaron, tell us what Tom Caron said to us yesterday about that.
There's more media members talking about how nobody cares about the Red Sox than I've ever seen before, and none of them seem to want to check the ratings. I mean, I see no... it all seems to be based on what callers are saying on sports radio and what sports radio hosts are talking about. But I can tell you, our ratings are up significantly over the last couple of seasons. And how does that, you know, line up with fans not caring about this team?
So Evan Drellick says nobody cares. Tom Caron says everybody cares. Well, I have the real answer for you.
And you're going to give us the numbers. I just have one question asking before we crunch all the numbers. Does price of ticket make a difference on how far the TV ratings go up? But saying if the Celtics, because basketball is now a lot more expensive than baseball, so for a family of four, it's going to really cost you a lot of money to go to a Celtic game. If people can't afford it, aren't they more likely to watch it on TV than to go to the game? Which is why I thought, which is why I asked a bad question for him. I said, you know, are the Red Sox, is it tougher to go to the game, meaning prices and stuff like that and availability, which is why it would be more on, the ratings would be higher, I guess.
I believe that, yes, the price of game would lead TV ratings to be higher, but when you compare it, listen to this.
Yeah.
Look, the numbers don't matter to a lot of people because most people don't comprehend them.
Right.
I'll just tell you this. The Red Sox on NESN this year have a 6.16 rating.
Right.
Just forget what that means, but they have a 6.16.
Over the first 85 games of the season.
Last year, same point, they had a 5.15. They are up a full point from last season. The Celtics,
are they really, though? You say numbers-wise, they are, but this year they're the best team in the history of the Red Sox. Last year, they're not. How many more people are just watching because how great they
still
are?
Still in first place last year, though. Still
true,
battling
true.
For first place.
Big
still
difference,
the division.
Right, big difference, though, between the best Red Sox team in the history to just being in first place. So does that have anything to do with the ratings? I got to assume that's some of it, though.
I think the issue also is that this Red Sox team is more likable than last year, but the David Price stuff hadn't happened yet, as
true,
far as I
true.
Recall, in the first 85 games. The Celtics got a 3.2 and the Bruins got a 2.9 for their ratings. So you're telling me the Red Sox are double in popularity ratings-wise. So, look, people can say all they want about baseball maybe being in trouble or about baseball being this or baseball being that, but I'm telling you that Red Sox fans are responding to this team, and the numbers prove it.
Well,
I was right.
Not really. I'm going to explain to you why. The Celtics at a 3.2, that's misleading. They played in the Eastern Conference. If they played in the Western Conference...
I don't care. They play in the East.
Well, but the Eastern Conference is so horrible, nobody wants to see the other teams. That's my point. If they played in the West and they played Houston, Golden State, the Lakers against LeBron, ratings would go through the roof. It's just because when LeBron was on the Cavaliers, what were the ratings on the Celtics-Cavaliers? Nobody wants to see the other teams in the Eastern Conference. That has to be equated into this.
The Red Sox play the Orioles, who are the worst team in baseball. They play them 19 times.
Right.
The Red Sox are...
you're not going to avoid that in baseball when you play 162 games, right?
But go ahead. So you're making my point for me.
Really? Okay? I think I'm making a good point. Go ahead.
The people are watching the Red Sox regardless of who they're playing, okay? People aren't watching the Celtics regardless of who they're playing. So to say that the Celtics are ahead of the Red Sox in Boston or even in New England in general or where we are, I'm not buying that. People are responding to this Red Sox team. They are likable. They're fun to watch. They're winning a lot. And they what they lack in personality, in terms of individual personality, they make up for in the ability to win games.
I want to tell you the 3.2 to 2.9. Are you a little surprised that the Bruins are right on the Celtics? And the reason that is the Celtics have nobody you really want to watch other than Kyrie, and he was injured. If you know, there's no name. This team is really Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, and unfortunately, they're not in uniform. So they don't have that star power. If Larry Bird was on the team or a Larry Bird type, those ratings would be 10 times, or not 10 times, but be much better than it is now.
The only thing, Arnie, that would lend credence to your point is, remember, the Celtics and Bruins are competing against each other. So you would say the Celtics get a 3.2, the Bruins a 2.9. That equals a 6.1. So the winter sports have a 6.1, the same as the Red Sox. That's the only thing you could say that would lead me to believe at all that the Red Sox are not, you know, that winter sports are just as popular as the Red Sox. But I still believe that Red Sox fans, that if you could ask any fan of New England sports, if you could pick one team to be good, I think they'd pick the Red Sox. More so than the Patriots.
I think they would have picked that a long time ago before they won that first World Series.
The Patriots have won 5 Super Bowls.
Right, I understand that, but football is king. And there's a big difference between football and the game of baseball. We already know the game of baseball is boring. We already know they're losing the millennials and they're losing the young people. No, I think if you could ask any local, it's put the Patriots and win a championship there, and I think the Celtics would be number 2. And then
really?
I actually think the Bruins would be number 3 before the Red Sox.
Sanford, I completely disagree.
Oh, no, I promise you that's the way it's going to go. I promise you that.
Fair Tire text line 802-655-6672. If you could only have one Boston team be a championship level team, only one,
it'd still be the Patriots.
Who are you
football
picking?
It'd still be the Patriots because it's football.
See, I think it's baseball because baseball is a grind. It's every single day. If you are watching a perpetual loser every single night, you are absolutely miserable. Look, Cleveland Browns fans are still Cleveland Browns fans. You're watching them one. Look, they may stink, but you're only watching them once a week, and you get to go on with the rest of your lives. If you're going to have one team that's good, I'm picking it to be a baseball team. And I think because of the history of the Red Sox, because of the fact that it took them so long to win, I think the Red Sox, if you could only have one team in Boston to be good, I think people would choose the Red Sox, and I really don't think it would be that close.
Derek in Middlebury, I'm 26, and I'd say Bruins. My parents for sure say Celtics, and I grew up in the Boston area. So
that shocks me. He's an outlier. It's got to be the Red Sox.
Tristan in Williston said, I would pick the Sox over the Patriots any day, and then the Bruins third.
Thank you. Tristan is a sane mind.
That was Tristan. Andrew in Williston, what Arnie says doesn't matter. Any fan wants to watch their team regardless, talking about the ratings and what it does. Yeah, you know, I understand that. The only thing is that there's so many bad teams in the Eastern Conference with the Celtics. I don't want to watch any team in the Eastern Conference. Even my New York Knicks, I'm going to watch because I'm a fan of theirs, Brady. But other than that, there's not a match. If you told me, the Knicks are playing who? Any team in the East, I like to watch Knicks Celtics, but any other team, I would say so.
See,
what?
You're a fan. You're saying I will watch the Knicks. No,
I watch the Knicks, but there's no other team that's, if I'm just a basketball
fan.
We're
talking about the Celtic fans. The Celtic fans will watch the Celtics.
Well, right.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, but wouldn't more watch, the casual Celtic fan watch more if it was a schedule like in the West? A lot goes, when the NFL releases their schedule, people get all hyped up about that, and we already know who they're going to play. People get all crazy about, who the Patriots have.
I'm not saying football isn't king, but I still think because of the history of the Red Sox in Boston and because of the legacy of the Red Sox and because of the length and duration of the season, then I believe totally, wholeheartedly, that if you could only have one team be good in the area, I think the majority of people will take the Red Sox.
All right, get me a golf cart here. I may go ahead and just drive around, and I'm teeing off. Get a cart on T1, please, wherever T1 is. I'm ready to tee on off.
T1 is directly to our right.
Is it okay, wow. I'm ready to roll. Don't give me a driver, though. Those things are usually broken when I use them in my hand. Just give me like a 2-iron. I can hit it better. Brady, what do we got coming up?
Speaking of the NFL, are the New York Giants coming off a 3-13 season, Are they the dark horse of the league? Somebody prominent thinks so.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that as we're live at Bluff Point in Plattsburgh. Come on by. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Sure, Arnie may mispronounce words.
Huh? What?
Then Rich may be a homer. And Brady may love Patriots running back Rex Burkhead a little too much. But you know you can't stop listening. It's The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Two guys are teeing off right now, Brady, here at the Bluff Point Golf Course in Plattsburgh. I want to get on that tee. If I say some noise, like if I go Noon, you know what, when I say go Noonan, you know what that means?
No.
That's from Caddyshack.
Yeah, okay.
And that's when they yelled when they wanted him to miss the putt. They would go Noonan, something like that. So
I'm more of a Happy Gilmore guy.
Oh, I can understand that. That was a good movie. And you know, Bob Barker, what an iconic role. That was awesome. By the way, Danny and Colchester, Bruins, then Red Sox, talking about if you could pick one of the local teams to win a championship, who would it be? Ira in Charlotte. I'm 38. I would pick the Red Sox all day. I'm a Penguins and Cowboys fan, so the other Boston teams don't matter to me. Are you allowed to do that? I never understood the mixing and matching. You know what I mean? Either you're a fan of, like, all the Boston teams. What are you going to say? I like the Knicks and the Patriots and the Penguins. Well, what is up with that?
Sometimes it's I like when you're loyal to one city, but I understand the mixing and matching. Maybe you were a guy as a kid who came up and liked a favorite player and followed that player forever. Maybe you liked a player on each team and then stuck with that team even after the player left or retired. Maybe it's dependent on who your mom or dad liked and you picked up their team. So, look, I am loyal to one city, but I have plenty of people who are not loyal to teams of just one city. And then there's the ever-popular, like if you're a Cowboys and Lakers fan, that just means you like all the champions.
Tristan Wilson, I agree with Brady 100%, whatever the hell you were saying, Brady.
I said the Red Sox would be people's first choice. So far, a couple people have said the Bruins. A couple people have said the Red Sox. Not one person has said they would only like to have the Patriots.
No.
Just think about that.
Yeah, but again, with Football King, it's just a matter of time. If we kept the poll going, I promise you the Patriot fans would get on through when it's all said and done. Derek and Middlebury can't mix Boston and New York, and that's it. Well, I guess. Well, you can't mix Cleveland and Pittsburgh. You know, you can't do stuff like that. There's certain cities you can't mix.
Look at the huge crowd trying to win the Red Sox ticket. They're all trying to sink the 50-foot putt. It's kind of, I feel like,
this guy has no chance.
I feel like Jim Nance on 18 at the Masters lines up.
Yeah.
Gets a little bit of a lean. Oh, it goes right. Oh, he's melting down like Mickelson at Wingfoot.
Oh, my goodness. It's still rolling toward the lake. It's going to go in the water. I almost got hit. I may have a concussion. Yeah, that was a little hard, sir. Let's ease up on the testosterone.
Oh, this guy's laughing over here. He's like, I'm going to win this one.
If he puts it short, I'm going to say, can I hold your purse? I
promise. Oh, stop.
What?
Stop.
That's a common golf phrase. You didn't know that?
He's warming up, too.
Oh, if you're warming up, then you've got to sink it. You can't just go ahead and warm up. And
look, he eyes it up.
There's no way. He's so far off.
It's funny. Wow.
Yeah, good shot there, buddy. We should put 50 feet within the hole you get to win it. Not forget about putting it in the hole. Unbelievable. So that's some of the voting going on here. Brady, what did you want to say about the Giants? Because that's my New York Giants.
Yeah, we're less than 2 weeks away from the start of NFL training camp. And Colin Cowherd, you hear him on 960 The Zone every day, noon to 3. He thinks that the Giants might be the team that can sneak in under the radar this year. Aaron, what did Colin say about New York?
New York Giants, dark horse team in the NFC. I can go to 7 different units on this football team, and they have an elite player. There's about 3 teams in the league that can say that. A couple of them in L.A., Rams, Chargers, Eagles. Saquon Barkley is one of the most special running backs, okay? You have Odell Beckham Jr. Outside of Julio Jones and Antonio Brown, is there another more talented wide receiver? So they have a special running back. They have a special wide receiver. Evan Ingram, on an offense that quit last year, had a remarkable rookie season. He is an emerging star at tight end. Nate Solder's a top 8, top 10 left tackle. Snacks Harrison, elite defensive lineman. Olivier Vernon, way above average linebacker. By the way, we're not even putting down Alec Ogletree, who again is a B-plus linebacker. Janoris Jenkins, top 3 corner in the league. Landon Collins, top 5 safety in the league.
He's just reading the roster of the same guys that were on the team last year that played so crappy. So, except for the running back situation. He must be thinking, my pick last year was the Giants and Dolphins. Tell me how that worked out for me. I actually like the Giants again this year. I just thought they had a little bit of bad luck. Eli Manning could have used the running back in that situation. They've got the running back now. The wide receivers got hurt last year. I think they're going to be better, though. I think Colin kind of just going with the sexy pick right now, Brady.
You really think that the Giants are going to be a team that can be a dark horse in the NFC? Look, last year...
Yeah, because I don't think the Cowboys are going to be doing it this year, and I don't trust the Redskins.
Last year, I correctly picked that the Panthers would be a team that could go from worst to first. And they did make the playoffs last year. The Panthers were my team last year in the NFC. I thought it would be a dark horse. They proved me right. I see no way in which the Giants are a dark horse.
Wow.
Look, I didn't hate the Giants last year. I don't hate the Giants this year. In fact, I think they're going to be much better than their 3-13 record.
Well, that's for sure.
Their roster is good, okay? But their schedule. Have you seen the murderer's row schedule the Giants have? First 8 weeks of the season, they see five playoff teams.
From last year, those five playoff teams. I don't think they're going to be playoff teams this year.
Their first 8 weeks, they see Jacksonville.
That's okay.
They see New Orleans. They see Carolina. They see the champions in Philly on a short week on a Thursday. And they're at Atlanta. They're going to see Houston with Deshaun Watson on the road. That's going to be tough. They're going to be at Dallas, always tough. And they're going to get Washington a division game. Those first 8 weeks of the season, the Giants might be out of contention.
Oh, wow. You know,
they might be 2-6 by the time the first 8 weeks end.
I would just say, for the most part, every NFL game, except if you're really lousy playing a really great team, most of the Lions come in within 7 points.
Yes.
So it really doesn't make a difference who the heck you're playing. Every team is a matchup. Every team's going to be tough. Sure, some games are a little bit easier, but when it comes to the NFL, they're all right about a 5 or 6 point underdog. If you're on the road, if you're at home, you're probably a few point favorite depending on who you play.
And did you also find it interesting that Colin mentioned seven different positional groups? Nowhere was there mention of quarterback. And last I checked, you still needed a quarterback that was pretty darn good. Now, I'm higher on Eli Manning than some people. Some
right.
people think that he's done, but Eli Manning last year, he had 13 interceptions. You look at the teams that made the Super Bowl last year, Tom Brady had 8, and the Eagles quarterbacks threw 10.
Right.
So he still turns it over at too high a rate. And if you're going to go up against that murderer's row of a schedule, you're going to need a quarterback that's going to need to be close to perfect. And I just don't think Eli's close to perfect. I think they're better. I don't think they're finishing 3-13, but I don't think they're a team that goes worst to first.
I think the reason he picked them, though, is you got to pick a team from a conference that or a division that's not very good, like the AFC East, except we all know that the Patriots probably win that division. If you want to go with a dark horse, you say, maybe I'll take somebody else in the AFC East because that's a lousy division. The NFC East, not nearly as good as it was the last couple of years.
Oh, really?
Dallas is going to take a step backwards.
Take a step backwards?
Yes, take a step backwards.
They took a step backwards last year. That was their step backwards.
No, they're going to continue taking a step back. Matter of fact, even Colin was saying
that. Under 500 next year.
Oh, definitely. I said they weren't going to make the playoffs last year, and I think they're going to go worse. I think Dak Prescott's not as good as all the hype it was, and I'm dying to see how Ezekiel Elliott's going to be now that he's going to have to carry the load. Well, and I know he had the 6-game suspension last year, but I don't think the Cowboys are nearly as good. I think Philadelphia is going to come back to earth a little bit, and that only leaves Washington, who I don't believe. I think it will be Philadelphia, then the Giants in second place.
Look, Philadelphia, I think, is still the cream of the crop in the division. I think that's obvious. They won the Super Bowl last year. They're going to get Carson Wentz back. They should be, maybe not better record-wise, but they're going to have their franchise quarterback back. In addition to a good defense that's aggressive, that picked up Michael Bennett. See, I think Washington gets better. I'm a fan of Alex Smith.
Alex Smith taking over there.
You talk about a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, that's not going to beat you. That is Alex Smith. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go to the playoffs and Alex Smith can win you a Super Bowl, but you talk about being able to propel a team up in a division, then that, to me, is Alex Smith in Washington, a team that can really put some things together offensively with him at the helm and be creative.
I was going to say, first-time texter says, isn't there a Mets, Knicks, Dolphins guy there? Yes, that's me. I guess he's talking about when I said you can't mix and match.
Yes.
What you don't understand is I'm a Mets, Knicks, Giants, Islander, so I like all the New York teams, but I threw in the Dolphins there just to make me suffer from time to time. So, I mean, don't hold that against me for crying out loud. Keith in South Burlington, the Giants' O-line was a train wreck last year. They added Nate Solder and Will Hernandez. We'll see how good he is. Eli's fine. No quarterback could have overcome what he was working with last year. And that's why a lot of people said, that's why Colin, I believe, is going with them as the dark horse. He thinks Eli bounces back.
Look, I like Pat Shurmur. I like Dave Gettleman and hope he gets healthy. I like what they did overall with Saquon Barkley. I didn't think they needed that pick. I would have rather them taken the quarterback, but they still got an elite offensive player. I think the Giants are better, but I think Philly's still better in the division. I think that Dallas is still better in the division with Ezekiel Elliott for a full 16 games if he can get there health-wise. And I think Washington plays better with Alex Smith than Kirk Cousins. I'm not high on Kirk Cousins. And their schedule is just too tough.
Tom Fairtire, text line if you want to comment, 802-655-6672. As we are live at Bluff Point Golf Course out here in Plattsburgh. Come on by. Try to win the Red Sox tickets. If you can sink the 50-footer, you'll get it. Or closest to the hole. So come on by and have a little fun with that. Brady, I want to get to what's going on with former Celtic, former Laker, former Cavalier,
former son, former King,
Isaiah Thomas. I was going to say, I think we're missing one. No, is that it?
Kings five? And sons.
Okay, there you go. What's going on there?
Well, Isaiah Thomas on Instagram was he just happened to meet up at the airport yesterday with Sherrod Blakely, who does Celtics coverage for NBC Sports Boston.
Right.
So the two took a picture together. Sherrod Blakely posted it on Instagram, said Isaiah was doing well, said his hip was good, and Isaiah Thomas commented, "Miss the people of Boston, tell them I'll come back for a year, ha-ha."
How much can he get for a one-year contract if he came back to Boston?
In terms of the Celtics, they don't have a ton of cap room.
Right.
I mean, I think if Isaiah takes a one-year deal anywhere, I think he's looking at maybe like a $12, $13 million.
Yeah, I don't think that ship has already sailed. You know, obviously we do like Isaiah here. He is one of the fan favorites. There's just no really need for him, no room for him. Though it is tempting to get him for a one-year, let's say it's a $10 million contract, compared to the numbers that you wanted to give him, Brady. That's quite the bargain basement, huh?
Look, I love Isaiah Thomas. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great story. You talk about last pick in the draft, you talk about being 5'9", you talk about being a little guy who goes in and amongst the trees, Mr. Fourth Quarter, all of that stuff is great. He's just not a fit right now for this Celtics team.
Why wasn't he a fit for LeBron and the Cavaliers, who had such a bad team? Why is he not a fit for the Lakers? Why does it seem like nobody in the NBA wants this guy? What's the problem there? It can't be just injury.
Well, I think
well, Boogie Cousins, he got a deal, you know?
An injury at a 6...
He came back, though.
A 7-footer Boogie Cousins.
Right, I understand that.
Okay, is different than a 5'9 guy.
But this is a guy that averaged 27 points a game, right?
No, it was like 28, too.
Yeah, that's got to count for something here.
Yeah, it counts for something, but when you're pushing 30 and you're coming off injury, I understand why there's the lack of interest overall.
If I'm a crappy team, I'll offer him a 2-year diff. Nobody's going to offer him, and I'm a crappy, hey, I'll give you a 2-year $20 million? I mean, I'm a crappy team. What do I got?
We're
to
not
lose?
Talking about a crappy team. And I think
I'm talking about in the NBA.
I think Isaiah Thomas wants a 1-year deal right now. He wants to reestablish the value, enter the free agent market again when the salary caps are even
and
higher.
Join a crappy team where he could score a lot of points. Why not? I mean, I would want to do that. Let me shoot all the time on Sacramento or whatever team. It's Brooklyn.
And I think there's something to be said for that. I think also there's something to be said for he was most successful in his career in Boston. Look, I love Isaiah. He's not a fit for the team. They have Kyrie. They have Terry Rozier. They get Gordon Hayward back. There's not enough shots for him. It'd be sad to see Isaiah relegated to a role where he's playing Shane Larkin's role of 14 minutes a game. That's not going to help him reestablish his value. I dislike it because it turns his back on his hate of Danny Ainge, and I like when somebody speaks authentically and tells you what's honestly on their mind. I don't want to see him go back on that, but he's just not a fit right now for the Celtics.
All right. If you want to comment on that, Tom Fairtire, text line 802-655-6672, live Bluff Point Golf Course out in Plattsburgh. When we get back, though, Yankees or Red Sox? Manny Machado, it's starting to really heat up. Oh, and by the way, at last check, Croatia had taken a 2-1 lead in extra time. It might be a final. I see it looks like it is a final, and Croatia did win 2-1 over England. So congratulations to them. We'll come on back, talk about Machado next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All All right, good afternoon, everybody. We are live at Bluff Point Golf Course out here in Plattsburgh. Get on out here. Try to go ahead and win the Red Sox tickets, for crying out loud. You'll absolutely love that. Great seats, too. Great seats. If you can sink a 50-footer, a couple more gentlemen are stepping up here, Brady, trying to win those Red Sox tickets. They all think it's so easy. I can do that. I can just step up here and win the 50-footer. Make the 50-footer and win the tickets. So come on out here. Nobody's made it yet. And closer to the pin gets all kinds of stuff. So having a lot of fun. Great view out here. The lake just looks awesome. Now you know why I want to live on the water. Now you know why I was built to live on the water.
There. I know why you want to live on the water, but you were not built to float.
No, but look, I still say we need to have a swimming Olympics, but I need a house in Burlington. I don't care, Colchester, South Hero, North Hero, Central Hero, Isle Mirada, Grand Isle, I don't know, whatever island it is, put me on it and get me in front of the water. That's what I need, for crying out loud. I need a little of that. If you want to get into the Town Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672.
And we have the poll up on our Twitter page, at 101.3 ESPN. If you could only have one Boston team be good, who would you want to be? Right now, we're only about 10 votes in. It just went up a minute or two ago. Right now, we're trending even on Patriots and Red Sox.
All right, so what's the latest on Manny Machado? What's going on there?
Well, we heard yesterday that the Red Sox are now interested in Manny Machado, and I wonder, are they really interested in Manny Machado, or are they just interested in the Yankees
driving up the price there?
Not even driving up the price, but are they just interested in the Yankees not getting Manny Machado? So, first off, that's my first question. Do you believe the Red Sox are interested in Machado legitimately, or are they either A, trying to drive up the price, or B, getting him so the Yankees don't?
No, I don't think they're interested in him legitimately. I think there's other people, you haven't mentioned them, like Zach Britton or something like that. I think they're interested in someone like him because of the reason we talked about with Kimbrel and him being a free agent and how much he's going to demand.
Well, Britton's a free agent, too, at the end of the year.
And he's going to demand just as much, I would assume.
No, well, he's coming off a torn Achilles. So
he won't get as much. That's the only thing I could see of, but I don't think they're really interested in Machado. Matter of fact, I'd say like a 5 or 10%. I think it's really low there.
Machado doesn't make sense for the Red Sox. He makes far more sense for the Yankees, but he presents a lot of problems for both teams. One, I don't see Machado re-signing here in the offseason because of the issues that he's had with the Red Sox. Number one, he wants to play shortstop. They have a shortstop in Xander Bogaerts. Number two, he's got bad history with the Red Sox. Remember last year, the whole Dustin Pedroia knee thing with the spiking in Baltimore? That was Manny Machado on the other end of that. He said some things about Baltimore, or about Boston after the fact. And then you throw in the fact, well, if you get Machado and he plays shortstop, you're going to get rid of Bogaerts. That's not happening. You're going to put him at third against his will. And then what are you doing to Rafael Devers? Are you sending Devers to AAA? Are you putting Devers at DH and putting J.D. Martinez in the outfield and weakening your outfield defense significantly by taking Jackie Bradley Jr. out of the lineup? It doesn't make sense. The financial implications don't make sense. And the way the lineup would be structured doesn't make sense.
The financial thing is the one that matters to me the most, and I don't think that makes sense unless the Red Sox are knowing that after the year they're going to get rid of some of their players, whether it's trade or not sign them, like I brought up Kimbrel, and there's going to be money available. But you have to use that money for like a Mookie Betts. You really got to worry about Mookie Betts. That'd be my number one priority in signing him or giving him an extension when I could. But other than that, you've got to worry about signing your other players if you get a little bit of money in your pocket.
Right, and so you're talking about Machado in the long term doesn't make sense, and you're saying also if you don't think you're going to get him in the long term, it doesn't make sense to go and get him in the short term.
Right. I don't think I want him in the long term. I don't think I want to pay that type of money. That's a lot of money you're going to be giving him.
So then let's circle back to the Yankees.
And by the way, I'm already the best record in baseball, maybe the best Red Sox team in history. I really don't need to do something like that.
So let's talk about the Yankees then. The Orioles have said they don't mind trading Manny Machado in the division to the Yankees if the Yankees are willing to part with Justice Sheffield. Justice Sheffield is a pitching prospect, 22 years old. They got him a couple years ago when they traded away Andrew Miller to Cleveland.
Is that in relation to Gary?
Not sure.
Okay.
He currently holds a 2.53 ERA in AAA. He's been pitching very, very well. Would you trade Justice? You're the guy who's willing to get rid of all prospects.
Yes.
If you're the Yankees, would you give up Justice Sheffield, a top left-handed pitcher in your organization, for a rental of Manny Machado.
Yes, I would. Yes, that, now we're talking about it. Yes, I would go ahead and give him up, thinking that I could re-sign him. Because Machado, after this year, there's only about three, four teams that could actually sign him. One was the Red Sox, and they're not going to. So what is it going to be? The Mets? Forget about them. The Cubs? No. Really, what, the Dodgers and the Yankees? I like my odds there. Maybe throwing a team I'm not thinking about. I like my odds of him staying in New York and playing for the Yankees. I'll make that deal.
The move only makes sense if you're also trading Miguel Andujar for a pitcher, because you're going to give up 6 years of Justice Sheffield, who we think is really good,
right,
for Machado. Okay, if you do that, that's one deal.
Prospects get you fired. You've
I
heard
understand that.
Go ahead. Yes.
So, but think about this: you would have at that point Didi Gregorius, Manny Machado, and Miguel Andujar in three spots. You don't have room for all, and you have those three players for two spots. You do not have room for all of them. So you're giving up a top flight prospect pitcher to create roster controversy for you, where everybody doesn't fit. The only way it works is if you're then going to turn around and trade Andujar for a pitcher of your own. And so you're going to end up getting rid of Sheffield and Andujar for Machado and a top-line pitcher. That's the only way it works.
How did it work out for the Red Sox when they gave up their top prospect for a top pitcher in Moncada for what, Chris Sale? They were able to go ahead and get Chris Sale. How did that work out for them?
That worked. And they,
but
that's what, it's the same situation.
It worked that they're the best team in baseball.
No, but I'm saying it's the same situation. Moncada, look, say what you want about Pedroia. Moncada was blocked from second base and shortstop by Pedroia.
Yeah, but he was like the big-time name you guys told me. You were
right.
Mitch were oozing over
but
him. Yeah,
he was blocked at second base and shortstop.
Okay.
By Pedroia and by Bogarts. So they had excess players, and they could go get rid of one of those players.
But shame on you. You knew Pedroia was old. You knew he wasn't going to be around, but you had the contract. So you had the contract. Damn.
So you had room to get rid of Machado for the pitcher. If you take Machado, Andujar, and Didi, you've got three players there.
Right.
So now you have the excess. If you can go and trade Andujar for a top-flight starter that's got multiple years of control, then that makes some sense. But on its own, getting rid of the top-flight pitcher in Sheffield for Machado doesn't make sense because it creates you roster turnover.
Let me ask you a question. If Sheffield is as good as they think he is and as bad as
Sonny Gray,
why can't you just bring him up? I mean, you're not risking anything. Can't you start him against, like, the worst team in baseball, see what he's got out there? Who was the Dodger pitcher that was, like, an 18-year-old phenom?
Julio Urias.
Yeah, how did that work out for him? That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, so, I mean, is it worth it bringing him up and see what he's got or what? There?
Sheffield, I think, is close to being brought up, but I don't think they're ready to, because of the money they owe Sonny Gray and because of Sonny Gray's pedigree and all that, they're not ready to just get rid of Sonny Gray for Sheffield. But I do think Sheffield is close.
Cam in Highgate says, trade Jackie Bradley Jr. and call up Castillo?
Ruzny Castillo.
Yeah.
That's not going to work because Ruzny Castillo puts the team over the luxury tax. We've been through that. As good as he's playing, it financially does not work for the Red Sox.
When is that going to – that's going to be next year. Is that what that is?
Castillo?
When it makes sense financially.
He's got like 3 years left on his deal. He's going to be buried in AAA the entire time.
Well, that can't happen. The commissioner's going to – something's going to have to happen there. You can't just have somebody buried in AAA because of a contract situation. Something has to be worked. Nothing can be reworked on that. You're going to have to bury a guy, not because of his talent, but because of a contract situation.
Oh, Andrew and Williston calls me out on the mistake of the day.
Uh-oh.
Julio Urias had a shoulder injury, not Tommy John.
Wow. Boy, that's a nutty baseball fan there if you knew the difference between that one.
So.
That's for sure. Live at Bluff Point Golf Course in Plattsburgh. Come on out. We'll come back. We'll finish out the hour. We'll let you know what we're doing right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. We are live at Bluff Point Golf Course in Plattsburgh. Of course, today is a beautiful Wednesday. It must be Bad Putter Day because, boy, these people can't putt to save their lives there, Brady. Unbelievable.
Well, this guy's wearing a Yankee hat as he's trying to win the Red Sox tickets.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck. Yeah, one guy, again, almost put it into the lake. Can somebody just hit it a little bit easier? Instead of putting it like 20 feet past the hole, I don't
know. This guy doesn't even have his shirt tucked in. Isn't that against course etiquette?
Oh, no, I don't tuck my shirt in when I play golf. I can't remember the last time I played golf.
Oh, you're making fun of him? Oh, no, Bear too much to the left.
No, that was not bad, though. That's the closest one I've seen so far.
People are trying to win those Red Sox tickets. It's a 50-foot putt. If you can sink it, you can be the first to do so. Red Sox tickets are yours. Arnie and I are going to step up at the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to do our putt. If you can beat us closest to the hole, you're going to get some prizes, too. We've got some golf clubs, thanks to Bomb Tech Golf, our friends over there, Vermont-based company. We've got those. We've also got the Huddle. So this is the Huddle Golf Tour, and it is a four-person day. Foursome.
Yeah.
And a card for $101.
All right. I'll read you what Eric and Virgin says on the Tougher Tire text line. I'll read it. You comprehend it. Trading a position player for a known ace is palatable. Trading the potential ace for a positional player isn't due to any rarity of the ace pitchers, especially lefties. Does that make sense?
He's saying basically he would not trade a ace prospect with 6 years of team control who's left-handed like Sheffield is.
So don't trade him is what he's saying.
Don't trade him for Machado.
No, Machado's the better player right now, and we know
of
that.
Of course.
Right.
Yes, Machado is a better player
and
right now.
And Machado will help you win more because the other one's just a pitcher and he'll pitch once every 5 days.
Unless you are prepared to trade Andujar for a pitcher also, then it does not make sense. And if you're going to trade Andujar for a pitcher, it better be a pitcher with multiple years of team control, because I'm not giving up 6 years of Andujar and 6 years of Sheffield for a possible half season of Machado and a half season of some other pitcher.
By the way, you know, since we're on baseball, right, you've not said anything about your Mariners going to finally be in the playoffs this year. Finally.
They were disgusting
yesterday. Congratulations.
They took a 3-0 lead yesterday in the first, then lost at 9-3. It was disgusting. I was ready to throw my remote through the TV. Cole Calhoun for the Angels is hitting .174. He had two hits yesterday.
Oh.
He only ever gets hits against the Mariners. It's absolutely
But you feel
gross.
Good, though. You still feel good. You're ready. You're ready to go and break that slump.
The A's have won 9 of 11. They're now only 6 out of the wild card.
Oh, get out of
so,
here.
No.
You can't lose to the A's.
So, no, I don't feel as good as I did a week ago.
Metro Sabic's numbers or whatever? Come on. You can't lose to the A's. This isn't that old movie. What is it called again? Moneyball?
Moneyball.
Yeah, come on now. Those days were old.
Metro Sabic's. You mean Saber Metrics?
Close enough.
Not much closer.
Live at the Bluff Point Golf Course in Plattsburgh. Come on by. It's bad putting day. It looks like nobody's sunk the 50-footer. So come on by. See if you can get the Red Sox tickets. These are the boss's Red Sox tickets that he won't give
me? Yes, these are the company seats.
Jeez. Everybody's been to these seats but me.
Well,
you've been to two Red Sox games, though.
Yeah, but I didn't use the boss's seats.
I'm going to have to start using the boss's seats.
Rich has used them.
And I want to use the boss's Ferrari. I want to drive that around town,
too. And go to the boss's lake house?
Oh, I do want to do the lake house. You know, I do love the lake house. I do love the views of the lake. No doubt about that.
Well, Andrew in Williston's a realtor. He says he'll hook you up, and only for like a 30% commission.
Yeah, I got a realtor, though. I got a realtor. She does a great job. I just haven't found the house I want yet. We're still looking. All right, hour one of the books. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We'll come back, get you ready for hour two right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The only full-time FM sports station in Vermont. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle Golf Tour live on a Wednesday. We are here at Bluff Point in Plattsburgh. It's a foursome and a cart for $101. If you can sink a 50-foot putt on the practice screens, you take home a pair of Red Sox tickets. If you can beat us closest to the hole, well, then you're going to take home any number of things that we've got. 101.3 ESPN swag. We've also got golf clubs to give away from our friends over at Bomb Tech Golf. We're here until 6:30. We go up until 6:30 because it's Red Sox baseball. Sox against the Rangers. Chris Sale takes on Bartolo Colon in a battle of... Well, the battle of history, the 200 career start for Sale, and Bartolo Colon comes in with the tied for the most wins by any Latin American pitcher. A win today would give him the record. Yankees and Orioles, Sonny Gray's on the mound looking to rebound from multiple bad starts in a row. Isaiah Thomas says he might be welcomed back by the Celtics. England is out of the World Cup, losing to Croatia in the semifinals. The Croats go to the World Cup final. And Roger Federer out of Wimbledon in a 5-set stunner, the number one seed gone. Rafael Nadal with a win. The Huddle is live again at Bluff Point in Plattsburgh for the Huddle Golf Tour. We'll tell you more about it in hour two on 101.3 ESPN. 101.3ESPN.com, always streaming, so take us anywhere on the 101.3 ESPN app and on your Amazon Echo.
Thank you for making making us a part of your afternoon routine. People of planet Earth, we appreciate you. The Huddle is back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN live at Bluff Point Golf Course out here in Plattsburgh. Beautiful view of the water as we're just relaxing. I don't know why we have our back to the water. Brady purposely set us up like this. I don't know why.
But well, actually, it was your idea.
Not my idea. You didn't give me a chance to think about it. You said, which way should we look? I just assume you want to look through the putting green so we can see people try to win the Red Sox tickets. I didn't know you were going to put our back to the water, though. You're going to put us... You know, where we were looking both ways, that's a possibility also, Brady.
You know what? I am not an architect. I am not an engineer. I am not a city planner.
Wow.
My name's not Art Vandelay.
Really?
I just put the table down.
Art Vandelay? Who the hell is that?
From Seinfeld. When George wanted to be an architect, he named himself Art Vandelay.
I'm like, is that a famous person? I just don't know who it is.
It is probably the most famous alias.
Oh, there you go. So I had no idea what you were talking about.
Nice of you to help us out set up today. Yet again.
I was helping. I did help. What are you? I pushed that thing up, and I pushed another button. What do you want? I pushed a bunch of buttons, which is what our board op does. How tough can it be? You know what I mean?
It's pretty hard, actually.
Yeah. Well, wasn't
that
hard
Lewis,
today.
Intern Lewis was running the board for us yesterday. He was making all kinds of mistakes.
Yeah, he was really distraught after the show. I was making it worse going, you probably just got us all fired. I go, the boss has been calling me. I won't pick up the phone. He's trying to fire us. You just screwed up the whole show. So he was distraught. I hadn't seen him till today, and he was still, his eyes were all puffy and red from crying all night. It was very, very disturbing, Brady.
Did you watch any of Roger Federer against Anderson today in the Wimbledon?
Zero. Absolutely zero.
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 It was enthralling.
Zero, yeah.
A five set. Federer was up 2-0.
You're talking Wimbledon now, right?
I'm talking Wimbledon.
Yeah, you're fired, but go ahead.
You're all into the World Cup, and somehow Wimbledon's not great.
You're fired, but go ahead. I'll let you get your last word out before we fire you. I mean, if the boss heard us talking about it, if I talked Wimbledon on my 250 million listeners at Fox, the boss would fire me before I get the next sentence out of my mouth.
All I'll say is this. Yes. There may be nothing more fun to watch than a really, really good tennis match featuring one of the stars, Federer, Djokovic, Nadal.
Yeah.
There may be nothing better to watch than that. Okay, one-on-one. 13-11 it finishes in the fifth set, and I'm disappointed Federer lost, but just from the theatrics of it, there may be nothing better to watch than anything one-on-one is great. When you throw in a legend of the sport, watching great tennis like that, that's pretty high.
I don't know. I used to watch tennis. I used to watch men's tennis and women's tennis. It used to be at its all-time heights back in the day, like 20, 25 years ago, when you had the big names, especially the men.
You know, still big names.
Have Jimmy Connors
Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi.
No, before those guys. I mean, it was big. They won McEnroe. They're the ones that set the pace of, you know, Vitas Gerulaitis, all those kind of guys out there. And, you know, I just don't have the interest anymore in that. There's just too much other stuff going on. I know a lot of people do like tennis, but it is gone by the wayside, just like the Indy 500 and the Kentucky Derby and sports like that. We just no longer have interest in fringe sports.
You should have been on my Twitter feed today. Then.
Wow.
Everybody was watching. Women.
Really?
Everybody was watching.
Well, they weren't watching the World Cup then. That's should get a lot more ratings than tennis, that's for sure.
Croatia beats England 2-1 in extra time to advance to the World Cup final. We're live at Bluff Point in Plattsburgh for the Huddle Golf Tour. Come out. They've got a foursome for $101. You're also going to get
awesome.
A cart. It is awesome. Where can you play a course like this? $25 per person. We've got challenges closest to the pin. Try to win Red Sox tickets, clubs from Bomb Tech, and plenty of other things too. Mistake of the day, you can get in 1013 ESPN, 1013ESPN.com. You can get in on the Town Fair Tire text line. The Mistake of the Day is brought to you by Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, where they help small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
All right, Town Fair Tire text line. Intern Aaron says, let Arnie know that I have nightmares about messing up the board. Yeah, that could very much be true if you're running the board for the first time. You answer this one. Fred in Ferrisburg Federer is gone. Hop on.
He's going to hop in John Voight's car with Keith Hernandez and spit on people.
Help me on that.
He's bringing multiple Seinfeld references.
I'm too confused. Now you got me too confused, Brady.
It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so if you can't make sense of it, I know I can.
So that's not a you problem.
Okay, there you go. Hey, tell us, everybody, what's coming up the rest of the week. And I'm going solo on Friday.
Yeah.
So that should be interesting. Nobody wanted to work with me. None of the listeners wanted to work with me. And I said, text it. If you want to do the show, it would be Friday. Get it in the Top Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. A bunch of people texted and said they wanted to do the show. We called them up. Then they got all scared and backed out. So I'm going solo on Friday.
Yeah, I'm out at my best friend's wedding getting ready for the best man speech. And now everybody's coming out of the woodwork trying to give me advice. Oh, you got to be funny. Oh, you got to be
sappy. Oh, you got to be funny. That's a gimme. I didn't know we had to tell you that.
Oh, you got to be funny. Oh, you got to be sappy. Oh, you got to tell true stories. Oh, you got to do this. Oh, you can't say that. Like, I had the speech all done. Now everyone's making me second guess myself.
Are you going to rewrite the speech now, redo it?
I'm going to redo part of it.
I would steal some from movies and just,
My ninth stint in rehab.
Yes, steal some from Wedding Crashers. Other movies, wedding movies, and just splice them all together. It's got to be better than what you're going to write down.
The Wedding Singer.
The Wedding Singer. I love that one. It's got to be better than what you have. I wish you'd had it done. We could have you practice it tomorrow on the air.
Maybe I should tape it and play it back on Monday.
On a boombox? No, you should tape it and play it in front of the crowd. Yeah, just say, this is live in front of a studio audience. And I just play it back out of a boombox or something like that. That would be awesome, would it not?
What if I did a video best man speech where I bring down a giant projector?
There you go. Now you're talking in case you make a mistake. Kind of like if you're doing the news, sometimes they have you tape the news instead of doing it live.
Yeah. I agree with Tristan Willison, by the way. He says, Arnie, I hate to break it to you, but Borg and McEnroe were 30 to 50 years ago, not 20 years showing your true age.
What was it, 30
That's
to
why
50
I said,
years ago? I'm 55. I didn't watch when I was 5, okay? Stop it.
Because I said McEnroe, or I said Sampras and Agassi.
I said
before them. But they were 20 years ago.
Okay, go ahead. Pick on me. That's fine.
Michael Chang.
Did Rich go on the Bigger and Better Things? Cam in Highgate wants to know that.
Yes, he went on vacation.
He went on vacation, and he's not toughing it out. Rich is like in a mini cabin, or surrounded by other cabins, surrounded by like a supermarket,
but he tells
surrounded
you,
by restaurants to go eat at night.
But he tells you he's camping.
Yeah, but he tells you he's toughing it up. It's so rough because he wants to turn off his phone, which he won't turn off his phone anyway.
Well, we passed where he is actually on the way, and we honked at his supposed campsite.
Yeah. I did something else.
Just to try to irritate him.
I was doing something else. All right, what's going on with the Red Sox? Because I think I sent you an article about them looking for relievers.
Yeah, and remember, this is the time of week where we usually talk to Buster only. Buster just texted us and said he's got to push it back till tomorrow. He's got some stuff he's working on getting
ready. What is he so busy about that he can't join us today? Huh? What's going on in Buster Olney's life other than the All-Star game coming up and all that fun stuff?
What is going on with Buster Olney? I'll let you ask him that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure he wants to hear that. By the way, Adam and Shelburne, as a former best man, I highly recommend memorizing the speech. Everybody loved that I did that.
I'm going to have some note cards.
No, you don't want to memorize it. Why would you want to memorize it?
I'm going to have some note cards. I'm not going to have it word for word, but I'm going to have some note cards.
Come on now. I once made a joke at a funeral, and that went over real well.
This is why nobody likes you.
No, it was my dad's funeral, and it went over pretty well. It was the start of a... You think I'm nuts.
What was the joke?
It was I had like a little index card.
Okay.
And I had like three or four notes. I go, how about this? 90 years of life, and I got one index card.
Okay, that was good.
You like that? One index card. So I thought that was pretty funny.
All right, probably lighten the mood a little bit.
Yeah, lighten the mood.
I don't know how to transition.
I don't know why I said that. Go ahead.
As for the Red Sox, so we talked last hour about their interest in Manny Machado. Now we hear they have interest in, quote, high-impact relievers. And this is a bit of a deviation from what we've heard already, okay? We've heard the Red Sox want bullpen help. We've assumed they're looking for a move like they made last year. Last year, they went and acquired Addison Reed. The year before that, they went and acquired Brad Ziegler. They went out and got some guys to play the setup role. Now we're hearing they're looking for high-impact relievers, which means they're looking for closers. They're looking for a second closer one that can come out here and work with Craig Kimbrell, but might also be able to take Craig Kimbrell's place.
That's
when
what
he's
I was
a free agent in the offseason.
Yeah, you said a second closer. I don't know. I would have to move Kelly into that spot if there was an emergency situation with Kimbrell. But that's exactly what they're doing. They want to bring in a high-end closer because they know there's no way they're going to be able to keep Kimbrell on this team. I mean, he's going to demand too much money. Unfortunately, he's a lot of fans like also. He's a Red Sox favorite. And I feel bad about his home situation with his kid and all that. But that's not going to get him the big money here. He's going to have to go somewhere else.
So the names that we're hearing for the Red Sox that they've checked in on, well, they've checked in on Kyle Barraclough, who's the closer for the Marlins. And despite the fact that the Marlins are terrible, Kyle Barraclough's having a pretty good year. Adam Ottavino, who is not a closer right now in Colorado, but he could be on the market. Right. Maybe they fall out of things. Even Wade,
you're not getting me very excited right now, to be honest with you.
Yuri's Familia of the Mets.
I do like him, yes. So, obviously very familiar with him, though.
Raisel Iglesias of the Reds. So you're hearing some of those type, Joaquin Soria of the White Sox. You're hearing they're interested in high-impact relievers. They're interested in closers for this year and maybe subsequently, maybe even like a Felipe Vasquez in Pittsburgh, who's very good also.
And what does that do if they get these guys? He's not going to be the closer this year. They would never replace Kimbrell. Unless they're going to trade Kimbrell halfway through the year, which I can't see that going on.
No, that's not going to happen. They would get this guy to pair with Kimbrell for this year, try to win a World Series. We know that over the last few years, the playoffs are a bullpen game. The playoffs are a bullpen operation. We saw it with the Cubs, the way they won a World Series. You saw it with Cleveland, the way they got to the World Series. You saw it with Kansas City when they won a World Series. You need three dominant relievers, and when you throw in Kimbrell with X reliever they go get potentially, with Joe Kelly, with Matt Barnes, then you shorten the game continuously. And if you're so worried about David Price in the playoffs,
yeah,
well, now you've shortened the game to where David Price only has to give you four innings.
I also want to see what the Mets are going to do with their big two-star pitchers.
Keep them, it looks like.
Really? Because I think there's got to be a good market. I just don't think anybody wants to give up anything of value. They want to steal those guys from the Mets, and the Mets aren't having any of that. Boy, could they fit in good to the Red Sox starting rotation if you had Syndergaard or DeGrom in that situation, huh?
Yeah, but you know it. You know why it won't. It's the same thing we always say. The Red Sox have no prospects, okay? As far as getting a bullpen arm,
but the Mets are not going to get a whole heck of a lot. I bet you.
Yes, they are. Syndergaard and DeGrom each have 2 to 3 years of team control left. That's worth. You know how much that's worth?
Yeah, but the Yankees weren't going to give up Torres for him. That's who I wanted. So
right. Well, that's who I would have wanted too. But that's what the value is. Now, whether the Yankees want to pay that or not, then fine. But the Mets are not in a rush to trade those.
What
guys.
About you talked about Sheffield? If the Yankees were willing to give up Sheffield for Machado, well, why wouldn't the Mets take somebody like him who's a young left-hander and get a pitcher in return? You know, that's a good way to start.
Well, they're interested in getting position players because their position player system is so weak.
Everything is so weak with that damn team. So what do you want from me? What's going on with the final vote tally for the Major League Baseball All-Stars? Because I'm so confused. There was the All-Star team, and then there was the final people in, and then you could get the final internet people in, and then I think Bertha from Cincinnati gets the final choice. Where are we right now? I think we have two spots left, one for each team, or what? What's going on?
One for each team. It is not out yet. It's going to be announced at 8 p.m. Andrew Benintendi was second yesterday, and Giancarlo Stanton was third.
All right. So who was leading the way?
Gene Segura of the Mariners was in the AL.
Wow.
And Jesus Aguilar of the Brewers was leading in the NL.
And this is internet voting? Is that what this goes on there?
Internet voting.
Yeah.
I voted multiple times for Segura. None for Benintendi or
Wow, Stan. You're
I had
pretty
to
mean
vote.
Out there.
I
What's
had to vote
on?
For my guy.
I mean, how does he get so many votes also? There are, you know, people would know this guy from a hole in the wall.
Because
but
the people of Seattle have nothing.
Oh,
the Red Sox
it.
And Yankees might have a World Series. This is the World Series.
I'm
for
sure there's
people.
A lot more Yankee and Red Sox fans than our Mariner fans are around the country.
Well, yes.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that. They should be stuffing the ballot boxes, or what we say, stuffing the internet boxes on something like this. I'm not pumped up for the All-Star game. I know it's coming up, on Tuesday? But I've got no umph in it. I wish I didn't get rid of it. Winner gets home field advantage for the World Series. At least
and you probably crushed it the whole time they were doing
yes,
that.
Yes, I did. So I am a hypocrite. But now it gives me nothing. I used to enjoy it when the names were a lot bigger back in the day. I don't know. Again, I'm something old guy here. But now I just have no interest whatsoever. It just means it's a day you could put that on and maybe flip through Law and Order or something like
that. Yeah, Mike Trout.
Get caught up.
Bryce Harper, they do nothing for you.
Bryce Harper, you keep mentioning him. The guy's batting 2-what? I mean, really, if that's the name you're going to give me, baseball's in big, big trouble when your biggest name is batting like 210 or 220 or some garbage like that. That is concerning. You know, you would never have a big star in the NBA. Is Kevin Durant, would he ever fall to 4 points a game? Of course not. Barring injury, no, that doesn't happen.
I was going to say, you say barring injury. Isaiah Thomas went from 28 a game in Boston to 15 last season.
But you'll see guys in baseball, hitters, pitchers, without injury, they'll just collapse. I mean, right off the table. You don't see that in basketball, and you rarely see it in football, except for maybe some quarterbacks, you know? You don't really see that. It's a lot easier to go ahead and fall apart in baseball. I still haven't quite figured out why that is. By the way, live at Bluff Point Golf Course out in Plattsburgh. Come on by. Anybody win the Red Sox tickets yet or what? What's going on there?
Not yet. No one's won the Red Sox tickets. We got to go out and take our shot here in a minute break.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. I haven't warmed up. I don't need to warm up. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to sink the 50-footer. We'll see if they'll give me the Red Sox tickets. All right, what is coming up next?
It makes me so happy
to
prove you wrong.
I don't know what I did wrong now.
Patriots running back unit, which you say is horrendous.
Yes.
The people who know far more than you.
I said was horrendous.
They say it's pretty good.
All right, we'll discuss that. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month.
All right.
This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, live at Bluff Point Golf Course out here in Plattsburgh. We just putted, and I just put it 2 inches from the hole. 2 inches from the hole, Brady.
I will say this. You beat me by 2 inches.
Yes.
And we were the second and third closest to the pin.
Yeah, and I just didn't even take any practice.
Yeah,
just
but so right far there. That means that we don't win anything.
We got to go. Do you keep an eye on the Facebook page while we're doing the show?
Yes.
Any of the comments would you like to read from the Facebook page?
No, as a matter of fact.
I would like to read one from a Chelsea.
Okay.
She writes in, and she was talking about the golf, saying, I don't golf, but jeez, maybe if you're there, you're a babe.
Thank you for the compliment.
And she was talking about me.
she was
talking about me. So how do we know who she's talking about in this one? I don't know.
She better
not be talking about the interns.
Well,
Come on now.
I was the only one in the video.
Oh, it was a video.
Yes.
Well, but I was in the video screaming behind you.
You did scream in the video behind me, so maybe it is you.
Yeah. It could be one of us. We don't know which one is the baby. If you want to vote on that on the Telfair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Who's the one Chelsea's talking about? Who's the babe? Is it me? Is it Brady? Or is it the interns?
The interns were not in the video.
Okay, so it's just me or you.
I guess so.
Because I was kind of in the video.
I think that anything that involves me or you is...
Was I wearing my skinny jeans and my tight shirt in the video?
You can't get into your skinny jeans.
But I was wearing my tight shirt, wasn't I? My medium? My medium? My medium?
You're losing weight because of Orange Theory.
Yes.
All of your clothes are extra baggy at the moment. You're going to need a brand new wardrobe.
Maybe I wasn't wearing a shirt. I had my shirt off. You don't know that. I was behind you.
I was behind you. I told you, say hi to the fans.
Right.
You were definitely close.
I took my shirt off. I might have swung the shirt around like Brandi Chastain. You don't know that.
Did you hear, by the way, that Brandi Chastain's been offered like $2,000 or more for that sports bra?
Get out of here. You should get more than that for that.
She gave it to her kid. If you were the Smithsonian? If you were the son, would you want your mom's sports bra?
No, that's kind of creepy. And then what are you going to do? Give it to your girlfriend? See, try on my mom's sports bra.
Ew.
I know that does too creepy.
Even though it's worth a lot of money?
And what are you going to do? Like, put it in a picture and frame it so people go, what is that? That's my mom's sports bra.
Yeah, I don't know.
No. That's not happening for me. I would probably, if she gave it to me, I put it in the closet and make sure I can't find it somewhere. I will go ahead and tell you that. All right. We do have an interview coming up next segment. So a couple things we want to get to. Where was I wrong about the running back unit for the Patriots?
You were very wrong. By the way, Jamie in St. Albans says Babe Ruth was the babe.
Okay. Well, then I was the second babe there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, so I've been telling you all along that I love the Patriots running back unit.
I said if you have six running backs, you don't have one.
Okay. Well, ESPN, they ranked the running back groups around the league last year. They listed the Patriots at 10th.
That's not very good.
They listed them at 10th.
That's not very good.
How many teams make the playoffs?
16? No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
12.
12. Actually, no.
Yeah, 12. Or is it 10?
It's 10.
10. Okay, so okay. 10. That's right.
So 10 teams make the playoffs.
Right. 10. So,
they've got them in a playoff backfield.
Well, that's right there, borderline of not making the playoffs, especially when you're a team that's dominated like the Patriots, should be higher than the 10th best running back or 10th best running back unit. And matter of fact, the only reason they're ranked so high, I think it's because of Sony Michel coming in. If he wasn't coming in, they'd be a lot lower. I think it actually proves to my point that, you know, when you don't have one running back or if you have six running backs, you don't have one. And I think that's the problem. If after this year, you'll see their rankings go way up because of Sony Michel.
The Patriots' backfield, their collection of backs, their staple of backs, that is a good group to have. Look, and I don't know, someone in this group's going to get cut. Maybe Mike Gillisley, maybe Jeremy Hill. But when you throw in Sony Michel with James White, with Rex Burkhead, with one of those two that's going to be there, I love that foursome. They've got the projected stats. They've got the group of running backs running for nearly 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns.
That's so great as a group.
When your quarterback doesn't run at all.
Right.
And their quarterback doesn't run at all, you're giving 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns. That's pretty good. And then you throw in over 100 catches and nearly 900 yards with 5 touchdowns. They've got their running back group contributing nearly 2,500 yards from scrimmage and 20 touchdowns. Tell me that that's not great.
No, I'd have to see what the other nine in front of them, but the 1,672 yards does not seem as great as you were making about it. Matter of fact, there's guys that will rush for, single guys, that will rush for, 1,400 yards, 1,500 yards. So
2,500 yards from scrimmage you're giving me out of that backfield. And 20 touchdowns, I will take that all day. Here's the teams ahead of them.
Yeah.
By the way, number one, first off, the Patriots are the best rushing group in the AFC East. The Bills, they had at 11th. The Jets at 26th.
Which goes
the
to show you the Bills.
28th.
The Bills go with a one-man running back in Shady McCoy, and the Patriots do it by committee. But there's not much difference between the two, I guess.
Well, let's look at the teams that were ahead of them. Okay, the Saints, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, they're number one.
I think that's they're good running backs, but a little misleading because they do throw a lot. So.
Rams second with Todd Gurley.
That proves my point about Sony Michel.
Steelers three with Le'Veon Bell.
Right. There's no surprise there.
Falcons four with Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman.
Okay, so it's two teams with a pair of running backs, two teams with single running backs for the most part.
Dallas with Ezekiel Elliott.
Right. No surprise there.
Arizona with David Johnson.
He was injured.
Last year, week one. Tennessee with Derrick Henry. Last year, remember, they had DeMarco Murray
in there.
They've
been changing big-time running backs, it seems like, every year with them.
Cleveland, remember, they went out and they made a couple of moves.
That's shocking that you would have that they made the top 10.
They've still got Duke Johnson. They've still got the guy.
Duke Johnson from Miami.
Yeah, they still got Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
Or Carlos Hyde, who came in, rather, from San Francisco. And they've got the Chiefs when you throw in Spencer Ware, who was injured last year with Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, but I was going to say Hunt was a big part of that. Plus, don't they use what's his face, the wide receiver, to run some misdirection also?
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, and that counts for some of the running game also.
So it's about a split between teams that use a multi-system of backs and teams who are one back dominant. Look, the Rams are one back dominant with Gurley. Pittsburgh's one back dominant with Le'Veon Bell. Dallas is one back dominant. That's three. Arizona's four. And that's really it. I would say four of the 10 are one back dominant. Six of the 10 are using multi backs.
If they do these polls every year, I'd like to see where they had the Patriots coming into last year, going into the best,
without Sony Michel,
and see if they were ranked higher or lower going into that situation. If that works out for them, I think the only reason they're actually ranked that high is because of Sony Michel. Could you imagine if they were lower? Which goes to say, I mean, when I look at a stat like that, I go, wow, look at what Tom Brady really didn't have with him and what he's still able to do. So that's a lot of credit there.
I just think this backfield group, I'm just amazed that you're so reluctant to say that a team is better served having a collection of backs than having one.
Well, because I see Gurley.
Yeah, but look at what happened to the Cowboys last year. Ezekiel Elliott goes out six games and they go in the tank. Do you want that to be your team?
But that was, you know, you can't always, that wasn't an injury. So, and don't give me the injuries because that doesn't count. Anybody could have an injury.
Yes, it does count. I'm telling, if Sony Michel got injured tomorrow, I'm telling you the Patriots with those other three or four backs could still be competent running the football and could still have a running game.
No, they can't. That's why they've really made a mess out of their running back situation. That's why you just said one of their starters may get cut this year. That's why they've made so many moves at the running back situation, and Burkhart wasn't the answer anyway.
Who?
They screwed the whole thing.
Burkhead.
That's
Don't insult my guy.
By the way, why isn't Belichick getting more grief over what he's put together with the running situation, not helping Brady out there?
He
gets some grief on that also.
Because people agree with me in that having a staple of backs is now what wins. Look, it goes back a decade ago. Remember the fire and ice combo in Atlanta, TJ Duckett, Warwick Dunn? Look at the way that teams are constructed now. Teams are better having specialty backs, having multi-backs, having different looks. One guy that goes in the tackles, one guy that breaks it outside, one guy that can go on third down. I understand it takes more roster spots
right.
to have those running backs, but why? Look,
and by the way, you know what Willie says is they should be ranked higher because they're in the easiest division. I mean, let's face it, Dolphins, Bills,
and Jets.
And Jets are horrible for the most part as a collective three. They should have a better chance of putting up more yardage than most teams because they play in such a crappy division.
Let's think about this, too. If in baseball, we've just talked about in baseball that it's now a bullpen playoffs, okay?
Right, right.
It is about not a not. It's
I
not
think it's
so,
a starter, but go
well,
ahead.
Well, it's not. Well, baseball tells you over the last few years, why is everybody going for bullpen help? Because bullpens are what has won teams World Series or gotten them deep into the playoffs. If it's about having a staple of three bullpen arms at the end of a game to close it out, why can't it be three or four running backs on your roster that can all be diversified and help you close
I
out?
I think that's something
game?
Because you gotta have to take, you have to get your touches. Just like in basketball, you've got to get your shots. In baseball, it's not like I need my innings. You know what I mean? Those are going to come. I don't think you have the same situation. Couple other things we want to get to. By the way, we are live at Bluff Point Golf Course in Plattsburgh. So if you wanted to come by, tell them the specials that we got going here, Brady.
We are here again. It's the Huddle Golf Tour. You can come on out. We're here for another hour. A foursome and a cart for $100. That's it. 101 to be exact. You're going to get a chance to go, and if you can sink a 50-foot putt, you're going to win a pair of Red Sox tickets and the boss's company seats right behind the third base dugout.
They're which open. Nobody's hit yet.
Nobody has hit it yet. They're still up for grabs. If you can get closest to the hole, we've got a golf club for you from Bomb Tech Golf. We've got a brand-new wedge. We've also got some station swag, some other stuff here from some of our friends over at Bomb Tech Golf. So this is the spot you want to be. We are right on the water here in Plattsburgh.
Why do I not have a house on the water yet? What's going on?
Because you haven't contacted Andrew in Williston. He's a realtor. He wants to help you.
Give me something good, Andrew.
He wants to help.
I got a realtor, though. She's good. She's
what
sitting
kind
in all
of,
these houses.
Look, just say what you want.
I want a house by the water.
How many square feet?
2,500, let's
okay.
say.
Okay. How many bedrooms?
A little bit less. Three.
Okay.
I got to do my quarter of a billion show from my house.
Andrew, three bedroom, 2,000-plus square feet on the water.
Get me a deal, too. Something I can afford.
At the best possible price.
Yes.
You go to work on that, and then we'll talk.
Check up the price, and I'll see if my mother-in-law is still alive if we get money. All right. Are we still on the air live? All right, so what's coming up next, Brady?
Coming up next, how about this? MLB agent Josh Kuznick is going to join us. He'll talk about the Boston Globe story, about the state of baseball. What is it like in terms of marketing baseball players? Why is it so difficult as opposed to back in the day when I saw Ken Griffey everywhere? And what's the trade deadline like for an agent?
All right, we'll get to that next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, MLB agent, well, maybe MLB agent to the stars, it's Josh Kuznick. How you doing, Josh?
I'm wonderful. I'm in Miami. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Appreciate you stopping on by. First of all, how did you get in the agent business? How did that, did you know right away you wanted to get into it? Were you a former player? How'd you get in the biz?
I used to collect autographs, and I still do, and I was at a minor league game one day, and I met a guy who ended up being the special assistant to the GM of the Chicago White Sox, and before Google and social media, he asked me if I wanted to crunch numbers and bird dog for him, and I started scouting, and I did that for about a year, and I asked him if I find the next Babe Ruth, how much money do I make as a scout, and he goes, you make your salary, and I said, how do you get the money? He goes, you got to be an agent, and I said, well, I'm Jewish, so why not?
Perfect. There you go.
Hey, Josh, yesterday we were talking about a story in the Boston Globe that talked about how the game of baseball is in such bad shape. And we know pace of play and too many strikeouts and all that. But as an agent to these players, what do you see from the chair you're sitting in?
I was at a Marlin game yesterday and the day before watching Jeremy Jeffress. And I grew up in South Florida. I've been coming to games here since literally their very first game in 93, from their first pitch with Charlie Huff and their first debut with Scott Boas to 2018. And just as a fan, it's just the games are so long, like in person. It's a different experience than the nostalgia factor from the 90s. And I know it was a different era, but the game has changed, and I don't know if it's for the better. It's just everything seemingly takes so long, and I wish someone had the solution to speed things up, because even in person, the game is so specialized right now because of analytics. Everything is so deliberate. It takes a long time in this social media instantaneous world. It's tough.
Josh, let me ask you this. Has anybody ever called you from Major League Baseball or called somebody that you know that's also an agent and says, you know, you've got to tell your client he's got to take the most money. He can't go where he wants to live or where his family grew up. Or he's got to take the most money. Anybody from MLB tell
you? Has anyone ever told me that? Yes.
Yeah.
To be totally honest with you, absolutely that has happened.
Hmm.
And I have ignored that.
Really?
Yes, that has happened.
Why so?
Because we belong to a players association and you are supposed to do what's best for everyone as a part of the union. But as my job, I have to do what's best for my client. So in some instances, what's best for your client doesn't line up what's best for everybody. And that can create issues between people and agents. And yes, I have been told, screw what your player wants. It's not good for everyone. And fortunately, my client did the right thing, said, screw you, and did what was best for him.
But the players' union, don't they say you're going to bring down salaries? We need to keep it as high as possible. He owes it to the union to go ahead and get as much as possible.
Yeah, I've been told that in my past. Absolutely, that has come up before. Not recently, not under this administration, but I've gone through that for sure in my career, and I'm happy those days are over.
Major League Baseball agent Josh Kuznick with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com. You talk about how the game has changed. Well, has negotiating on behalf of your players, how has that changed in the last handful of years? Has it gotten easier? Has it gotten harder as the game's gotten more specialized? Or does it just depend on the player himself?
It'll always depend on the player. Different stats matter now. Arbitration's different in the sense that you can go to arbitration and use traditional baseball card statistics to build a case. So saves, home runs, RBIs. You can't use a lot of analytics in arbitration because they're not 100%. There's no consensus on each analytic, so you can't really bring up a lot of it in an arbitration hearing. So when you're doing an arbitration case, you really are preparing old school stuff. And when you're dealing with, say, a multi-year contract or a free agent, at least in my experience, you're dealing with more of the new school spin rates and, you know, all of those good analytical stats.
Josh Kuznick, MLB agent, of course, joining us right here in the Huddle, 101.3 ESPN. Josh, yeah, I've had Scott Boras on, and you've heard it. Well, you know what
I've met Scott.
Yeah.
He's been very nice to me.
You know what? He's not a bad guy. Really not at all.
I don't badmouth other agents publicly, but I've met Scott.
Well, the question is, though, when people say, you guys, and I'll lump you all in together, and I don't mean you personally, but you and Scott Boras, or just agents in general, you guys are what's wrong with baseball. You guys, as agents, are destroying the game of baseball. Because even people that might not even know you, when you tell them you're an MLB agent, you're the problem. How do you take that? And, you know, a lot of people do say that about Scott Boras.
Sure. I've gotten that from people. I laugh. I told you off air, I have a background in comedy, so I think it's funny, but I say this to players in my pitch. If teams were completely honest and fair in their evaluations of their own players financially, or of any player, if they were fair and honest financially, with what a player is actually worth at their age versus their production, then my job wouldn't even exist. So, it's just interesting that you would go blame the agent for something that the system created out of necessity. I mean, for years up until Marvin Miller, they had the reserve clause and they owned players forever and they didn't make anything. Right. So if teams just treated players exactly what they were worth with their analytics, then I don't think we would have these issues, but we do, and then my job exists, and no, it's not the agent's fault. Sometimes we make mistakes, obviously. You don't want to do that, but, I mean, nobody's perfect. But, I mean, just blanket blame agents, especially being when I'm obviously biased, but I've never believed that, and I've been doing this 16 years now. I've wanted to do this my whole life, and I'm very fortunate that I've gotten to do it for so long. I mean, baseball doesn't need me. It doesn't need me, doesn't care about me, doesn't want me, doesn't care about any of us. We just get to borrow, they get to borrow our time for as long as they need us, and then they get rid of all of us.
Josh, we can debate all we want about how to make the game better, the shift and all this stuff and pitch clocks, but I think one thing that I'm definitely on board with is that the marketing machine of baseball needs to get better around its star players. I remember growing up, it was Ken Griffey Jr. Slugfest, and it was Griffey on cereal boxes, and it was the hat backwards. Why does that type of marketing machine not exist right now? Are the players not willing? Are they not as charismatic as Griffey? Why not?
I don't know. It's interesting. I grew up in the era you did. I played all 162 games of Ken Griffey Jr. baseball, where the only real player was Ken Griffey Jr., and then you played with a bunch of historical figures.
Yeah.
But it's strange. There's a lot of stuff that is done through the Players Association where they do blanket deals for everybody, and then there's the individual deals the players sign that their agents secure for them. And I don't know. I think, I mean, if I had to personally guess, I think because there's so many options for entertainment at this point, and we're competing with so many other things, even esports at this point, video games, people are watching that on broadcast now. I just think it's harder to keep people's interest in something that takes so long. But I mean, you look at individual players. I mean, I can't really comment on that given my job, and especially guys I don't represent, but there are really fun, entertaining players playing right now. I mean, just to speak to my own client, Jeremy Jeffress is fun to watch. Looks like he's going to kill someone every time somebody just steps out of the plate or out of the batter's box to take time. I mean, there are guys. It's just, I think there's just so much. There's so many options. It's hard to sell one or two guys. I mean, I don't know why Mike Trout isn't more famous. I mean, Bryce Harper, I think, is great for baseball. The guys like Manny Machado. I mean, sometimes in the past you could always blame it on the language barrier, but these are all English speaking guys, and I don't know why they're not bigger superstars. I mean, for me, and I had this discussion the other day, I don't know why Shohei Ohtani is not the biggest story in all of sports, even above LeBron James. I mean, no one has done what he did in that short time since Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why. I really don't.
Yeah, you know, now some people say you have it easy. You do MLB. Do you laugh at, like, the NFL Players Union? Is that just, like,
the NFL stands for not for long. I never wanted to be an NFL agent, and the average career length is very short. There's a lot of injuries, and the percentages, the fees are so low, and the contracts aren't guaranteed. You couldn't pay me any amount of money to go into the NFL.
Is that disturbing for agents, that the contracts are not guaranteed, or is that the way it's got to be in the NFL?
I would be terrified, personally. I could never do that. My very first interview I ever had as an agent was with two NFL players, and one guy's actually going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
And I just... it was not something I was interested in. I would have had to have fronted, and then not illegally or anything. This was after they had graduated. They needed a loan before the draft for training for the combine. And at the time, I think they wanted $25,000 each that I would have had to have fronted. And they still could have fired me before the draft, and I wouldn't have made anything. So, I mean, there would have been a huge risk. So, as an agent in the NFL, honest to God, one of my good friends is an NFL agent. I don't even know how you make it when you have somebody. I mean, I'm very lucky. I've got guys like Jeremy who have his contract as a small agent because he did make it. And without him, you know, for all the people that say I saved his career because of what he'd been through with his two suspensions, I mean, without Jeremy, I don't have a career either. It's very much like Jerry Maguire, for those wondering.
Show me the money! Yeah.
I've had to do that at 2 in the morning. I've had to yell, show me the money.
Josh Guzik, MLB agent, with us here on The Huddle. Josh, I'll get you out of here on this. We've been talking a lot today about trade targets for the Red Sox, Machado to the Yankees, all that. What's the trade deadline like for an agent? And you also represent a number of prospects, so how stressful is it for your minor league clients trying to get them through the deadline?
It's interesting. When you have a guy that's really highly regarded or a guy that is a good player who's buried, the trade deadline is like the ultimate hope of getting them out of there. I mean, imagine being a center field prospect on the Angels right now, for instance. Like, you know, you're praying July 31st you get traded. So that's what it's like for like a minor league guy. So if he does get traded, they're excited. It's overwhelming. Sometimes I find out. I mean, there was one trade years ago when Ricky Nolasco got traded for my client at the time, who's retired now, Stephen Ames, who got to the big leagues with the Marlins. I found out from the media. The media, someone at ESPN texted me and said, did your client get traded? And I couldn't even ask him because he was pitching. So someone from ESPN found out before the player, and I did. It's crazy. And Jeremy Jeffress was involved in the trade deadline the last two of the last 3 years. He went to Texas for their playoff run in the Lewis Brinson trade, and then he went back to the Brewers last year at the trade deadline to send him back to the Brewers for the third time. And it was hectic for him. When he went to Texas, he was happy to be part of a playoff chase, but he was devastated because he loves that city, hence his contract this offseason. And then when he went back to the Brewers and left Texas, he was elated, and he's pitched. I mean, he's got a .99 ERA this year, and fingers crossed he gets named to the All-Star game today. Unfortunately, you never want to see injuries, and Sean Doolittle is injured and not going to play in the All-Star game now, but they have to name a replacement, and I am hoping it's Jeremy.
All right, Josh. Hey, we certainly appreciate it. Good job. That was fun. We certainly got a little bit of insight on it, and we'll have to do it again. Thanks for stopping
by. Anytime you want, man. I talk a lot, and so I'm available whenever y'all need me.
All right, there you go. Josh Kuznick, everybody, ML agent to the stars. Always good to get a perspective from an agent. We'll come on back. We'll finish things up. We'll get the last story standing next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, let me get the quickly last story standing. CNBC came out with their list of top places to live. That included crime rate, tourism, healthcare, affordable housing and stuff like that. What they came up with, the best places to live, states-wise, number 10, Massachusetts, number 9, Colorado, tie for 7th and 8th, ready between Montana and Iowa, 5 and 6, there's another tie, Washington and New Hampshire, 4, North Dakota, 3, Minnesota, 2, Hawaii, and number 1, you guessed it, the Green Mountain State of Vermont.
Yes!
The number 1 place to live, according to CNBC, Vermont scored a 268 out of a possible 300 points on the best place to live. Who do we got to thank, Brady, out here for crying out loud?
We got to thank everybody. The people over here at Bluff Point have been awesome. All of you that came out took advantage of the special, a foursome, and a card for $101.
Oh, yeah.
Next time you come in, tell them you heard about them on the show. They'll appreciate it. Intern Kevin's here. Intern Lewis is here. And sales guy Jeff. And sales guy Steve, who had to stay back at the office and miss the beautiful weather.
For no reason whatsoever.
He helped us also.
All right. There you go. Champlain Valley Game Night coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.